The following message, The Entreaty, was based on Psalm 90, verses 13 through 17. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, October 27, 2019, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Cal Walden of Reformed Baptist Church of Lenawee, Adrian, Michigan.
Well, again tonight, I'm going to ask that you take your Bibles and turn once again to the 90th Psalm, Psalm 90. Again, let me read, and you're hearing this psalm of Moses, or prayer of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back to the dust and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew, and towards the evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you. Our secret sin is light in your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our lives, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and they fly and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? In the sorrow of your servants, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Well, this morning, as we looked at this Psalm of Moses, we noticed together that Moses shows us the contrast between the greatness of God and the littleness of man. We notice together in the first two verses of this psalm, briefly by way of introduction, the display of God's eternity. Moses makes the confession in these opening two verses that God has been his dwelling place, that God has been his home, his place of security for generations. Because he is the eternal and unchangeable God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And in his prayer, Moses then moves from the display of God's eternity to the experience of man. And he contrasts the reality of the eternal, unchangeable God to three facts about man. His life has a certain destiny. You will turn back to dust. His life is marked by brevity, like a flood, like grass, like sleep. And therefore, there are certain realities by which a man ought to live. He ought to be quick to confess and forsake sin. He ought to live his life viewing it as that which is passing by. And he ought to live in the fear of God. And then we saw together the application that Moses makes. So what does all that cause us to do. It ought to cause us to number our days. To number our days that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. As you read through this prayer, it is obvious that Moses and the children of Israel have experienced the chastening hand of God upon their lives. Well, whatever life God has given to them, however long that would be, most of it was spent in disobedience and in unbelief. And therefore, as Moses contemplates their lives, he points out that there's a sense in which it seems as though God has forsaken them. Their lives is marked by a sense of sorrow. They look back on their lives and sigh. They look upon all that they've done, and at the end of the day, it has been a labor. It has been filled with sorrow. And there's a real weakness and an inadequacy to accomplish anything as they looked upon their lives. And perhaps many of us have known of seasons or are now passing through seasons in which we have a sense that communion with God isn't what it once was. The joy of our salvation has begun to wane. There's a sense of our own weakness. And what we have here in verses 13 through 17 is an entreaty by Moses in light of those realities. He expresses in these verses a longing of his heart. As you read down through verses 13 to 17, there are five petitions that are expressed. Five entreaties. Now, I've taken them and sought to summarize them into three. And it is these three entreaties, these three longings of Moses' heart that I want you to consider with me this evening. For we find three simple things here. He longs for the mercy of God. He longs for the pleasure of God. And he longs for the blessing of God. These three simple things. Simple to preach, not always simple to live out. And so I want you to notice them with me. First of all, there is a longing for the mercy of God there in verse 13. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Because of their disobedience and unbelief, they have experienced the chastening hand of God upon them. And so now Moses is brought to entreat God for a reversal of that condition. He's addressing the people of God. Twice in this passage, or in this verse, or in this passage, they are referred to as your servants. Verse 13 and verse 16. He's talking about your servants. Lord, my longing is that you would bring about a reversal concerning their condition, the condition of your children. He's pleading with God, return. Now, this is figurative language. It's not necessarily literal. God doesn't need to return. God is always there. God is omnipresent. So what exactly does Moses mean when he says, "Return, O God"? What does he mean when he says, "Be sorry"? That repent, change that which we're now experiencing. What does he mean? Well, his desire is, his longing, his entreaty is that the people of God would once again enjoy sweet communion and fellowship with God. That God would have mercy upon them. They did not deserve it. And therefore, he is pleading that God would be merciful to them. That they would know of the grace of God, and that he would return, come back, and bring them that wonderful fellowship that ought to be enjoyed between God and his people, and repent or change their present condition. At times when we feel as though God has forsaken us, we feel as though God has turned a back on us, we know he's there. But that fellowship, that intimacy, that closeness seems to be missing. Much like, unfortunately, we might say like too many marriages. When a spouse says, "You know, I know my husband is here, but we're just not as close as we once were. We don't enjoy our times together like we once did." And the wife, or even maybe the husband, is saying, "Oh, I wish he would return." And you say, "Well, where's he been?" "Well, he's been in the house, but there's something missing." And that's what Moses is expressing here. Yes, God is here. But because of our sin, because of our disobedience, that communion isn't what it once was. Look over to Numbers chapter 14, and we'll get more of the flavor that we find here. Numbers chapter 14. Here in this chapter, we read about the rebellion of the sons of Israel. Look at verses 1 and 2. "And then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' And so they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.'" You have a sense of their rebellion against God. They grumbling at Moses and Aaron, but ultimately they're complaining to God, "Why have you done this to us?" And notice God's response. Verse 11. "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despise all the signs which I have performed in their midst? I will smite them with pestilence and dispose them, And I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. God says, I will rain down judgment upon these rebellious people. I will do away with them. And Moses and Aaron, I will make a greater nation than they ever were. So what does Moses do? Does he say, that sounds good. I'm sort of tired of dealing with these people. No, he pleads to God on their behalf. Moses pleads for the children of Israel as they've rebelled against God. And if you read down through Moses pleading with God, you will find that there were two fundamental truths that Moses pleads before God. One is, your glory, God. If you wipe out these people, what about your glory? What will be said about your people? And then secondly, not only your glory, but God, you are a merciful God. I know that you will be merciful. You love these people. And even though they have rebelled against you, Lord, I'm glad that you're a merciful God. Show and demonstrate your mercy once again to them. In answer to Moses' prayer, and upon their repentance, God relented. God relented. And as you read on through chapter 15, we read that God proceeds with the laws concerning sacrifice, which was a display or a manifestation of what we might say, using Moses' words, God's return. God showed mercy. God showed grace. And dear people, aren't we thankful for a God of mercy? There's not a day goes by that I don't deserve to have communion with my God. And yet by His mercy, He wraps His arms around me. He doesn't cast me off. But He returns. And when sin is confessed and repented of, sweet fellowship is renewed with Almighty God. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4 says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you might be feared. It's a wonderful truth, that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. And as often as I do not deserve that sweet fellowship with Almighty God, how thankful I am that He doesn't immediately give me what I deserve, but by His grace and His mercy, He restores me to that sweet, intimate fellowship that was once enjoyed. And Moses here recognizes that reality. And pleads with God, entreats God for His mercy to be known to His people. You see, maybe it wouldn't be at all shocking that some of us here may think of sweeter times of fellowship with God than we know now. And just the thought of sweeter, blessed fellowship and communion with God makes you to think backwards and not think about the present. And I wonder, for any of us, what has broken that fellowship? Why is that communion with God not what it once was? And how long are we going to live in that condition before we bow our knee to Almighty God and acknowledge that He is a God of mercy, confessing our sins that He might return or that He might change our present condition? It's a challenge for each one of us. We ought to long for the mercy of God. Then secondly, there's a longing for the pleasure of God. A longing for the pleasure of God. Going back to Psalm 90, we see this in verses 14 and 15. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Moses' prayer was that there would be a delighting in God throughout our days, that our sorrow would be turned to joy, that He would bring such a delight, and that delight in God would be expressed in two ways. He would make us satisfied, and He would make us glad. May I have a delight in God that makes us satisfied. That word satisfied means to fill someone up with food. All right, so you got the picture? You got a nice meal before you? You eat and you sort of say, oh, that was good. I'm satisfied. You want it? No more. I'm satisfied. You see, the entreaty is to know God in such a way that we find Him to be our greatest satisfaction. There seems to be a sense of discontentment. They grumble and they murmur. Would that we had died in Egypt. Or would that we had even died in the wilderness. We're not happy. We're not satisfied. Moses now longs that the people would find great pleasure in God and be made satisfied. And Moses understands that such only comes from knowing God's covenant love towards His people. You are my people. I am your God. I will watch over you. I will care for you. It's an entreaty for God to take away discouragement and discontentment and to rest satisfied and contented in who He is. So that as we go through the ordinary events of our lives, we'll be found rejoicing. We'll be found glad. He says, notice, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. And some of our translations say that, but and it should be, we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. I mean, isn't the Christian life filled with contradictions? Who else can go through trials and yet rejoice? And not rejoice in the trial. I lost my job today. I am so happy, you know. Then people will look at you as though you're a little weird. I lost my job today. That's going to be difficult. But I still have a God who loves me. And He will take care of me. have a marriage that isn't what it ought to be. And that brings sorrow. But I have a God who knows me and still loves me. And I'm sort of reminded of the Apostle Paul there in Romans chapter 8 when he begins to contemplate there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he begins to list out all the blessings that come from being united to Christ. And he reminds us that we have the Spirit and there's a glory that's yet to be revealed. And we're able to have a relationship with God where we can call Him Abba Father. And then as he contemplates all those things at the end of chapter 8 in Romans, I imagine the Apostle Paul there in prison, and he's going through the difficulty of being in prison, not sure if he's going to live or die, but in the midst of that, he's able to write, but you know what? In the midst of going through this challenge, if God is for me, who can be against me? In the midst of going through all this, he just begins to think about, you know what? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Oh, it was a trial, but there was gladness in the midst of it because he found his satisfaction to be in God. And Moses prays, "May the days that I have been found living in have sweet and blessed communion with God." This is the place where a believer can find true contentment, whatever events transpires in his life. So he longs to know more of the pleasure of God by make us satisfied. And then in verse 15, sort of going along with that, make us glad. Make us glad. Moses confesses that things have been difficult. Their years have been spent like a sigh. Their pride is but labor and sorrow. Now, having acknowledged these days, Moses goes on to pray boldly for days of rejoicing. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. As you afflicted us for many days, now make us glad for many days. Give us joy. Give us happiness. A believer, a child of God, ought to be the happiest people on the planet. And yet, sadly, many professing Christians live as though their life is nothing but taking a bite out of a sour apple. Did you ever take a bite of a sour, you know, ooh. And that's the attitude of many professing. How's life? How you doing going through this? Ooh. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. You gotta love the Apostle Paul. And in case you didn't hear me, again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Make us glad. So there's a longing for the mercy from God. There's a longing for the pleasure of God. And then finally, in verses 16 and 17, there is an entreaty, a longing for the blessing of God. The blessing of God. Moses cries to know the blessing of God in a twofold way. Verse 16, he wants to know the blessing of God in God's work. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to their children. God is at work, saving, protecting, preserving His children. The majesty and the splendor of God, it is what Moses longs for the people to see. It's as though someone may say, how is it that God could save such an individual like you? I mean, there were those who looked at Paul that way. You're converted? How did that happen? And the answer is, this is God's doing. And Moses' prayer is that that would be known. Your work would be seen. When God sees a group of individuals with all types of differences, ethnically, academically, financially, and yet they come together, unbelievable, and they love and care for each other, in a time where there's so much division in our world, and the world scratches their head and said, how does this come about? And the only answer is, this is God's doing. This is the work of God in our lives. How is it that we persevere in the midst of severe trials and hardships? And people come up to you and say, man, I admire you. If I went through what you went through, I don't know where I'd be. And your answer isn't, yeah, I'm something special, aren't I? No, your answer is, this isn't me. I've only made it through because of God's work. To God be the glory, great things He has done. And so Moses was not only praying for God's work, but Moses was entreating God that His work would appear, that it would be seen, that people would step back and have to say, wow, this has to be something else besides them. This must be, and we say, yes, it's God's doing. And to Him be the glory. The Lord, we know, is at work in every circumstance in our life. And sometimes it's difficult to see our way through it. But the entreaty is, as we pass through it, God's hand would be seen. That's it. So that men would see our good work and what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. This is what Moses, Lord, bless and show Your work in our midst. And then secondly, as he prays for the blessing of God, he prays that God's blessing would be in our work as well. In our work. Verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Did you notice something there? He repeats it. He doesn't say it once, confirm the work of our hands. But then he says, yes, confirm the work of our hands. It stresses the urgency, the dependency that we have upon God. Praying that God would bless the work of our hands. That God's blessing would come upon our labors. This work of our hands is the work that God has called each one of us to do. We need to share the gospel. We have family and friends, workmates that are lost? What hope do they have of ever being saved? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to proclaim the gospel. We need to share the gospel with others. But in the midst of sharing that gospel, we need to be praying, Lord, now bless. I mean, at best, I can only plant and water the seed. God, you've got to give the increase. So as I labor to see the gospel go forth, our prayer is, Lord, confirm the work of our hands. We need to be a people that are pursuing holiness, righteousness. And so we need to rightly deal with sin. We need to use all the blessed means of grace. But as we engage in those things, we need to pray, Lord, bless, we pray, confirm the work of our hands. As I meet with you in the morning or afternoon or whenever you might meet with God, as I come to your word, may you come and help me to rightly understand it. May you help me rightly apply it. And then may you help me live by it. I need you. I need your blessing upon the labors of my hand to pursue holiness and to pursue God as I ought. Lord, you've given me many responsibilities. Take all the verses in the Bible that says something like this, let us love one another. Let us wait on one another. Let us consider each other. Let us rebuke. Lord, these are my responsibilities. I need to love and care for the brethren. But I know of my own inadequacies. I know of my own weakness. So Lord, come and bless, confirm the work of my hands in my responsibility as I live in this world. Lord, may you bless. Because in anything we seek to accomplish, if it's void of God's blessing, it will be ineffective. To change my heart or to change the hearts of others. And so I plead with God, confirm the work of my hand. If I'm to present to God a heart of wisdom, then I should be fulfilling my God-given roles faithfully as I live in this world. But I am dependent upon God to bless and to use for His glory. Grant the work of our hands. Grant that you will bless and make them useful for the advancement of God's kingdom. So here's Moses' three entreaties to know more of the mercy of God, to know more of the pleasure of God, and to know more of the blessing of God upon our lives. And you see how these three things go together with what the children of Israel were experiencing? There's a sense of being forsaken that leads to the plea for compassion and mercy. There's a sense of sorrow and of emptiness that leads to a plea for satisfaction and pleasure. There's a sense of weakness, a lack of achievement and accomplishment, so it leads to a plea for God's blessing. In light of these weaknesses and failures in my life, Lord, I plead with you, come and do a work that only you can do. Mr. Plumer in his commentary says this, it is not wicked to feel our trials, to groan under them and to cry out for deliverance from them. I feel forsaken. I plead with God. It's not wrong for me to plead with God to show me mercy. I feel sorrow and grief and dissatisfaction and discontentment. It is not wrong for me to plead, God, let me know more of your pleasure. I feel a sense of weakness, and it's not wrong for me to cry out, but God, you come and bless the work of my hands. It comes to this. When we feel our need like Moses does, then we need to pray like Moses does. That's what we learn. So that we'll have an eternal perspective. That as Jonathan Edwards said, eternity will be placed on our eyeballs. And that we will now live with that eternal perspective. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Father, in this place, you're the one that knows everything that's transpiring in our lives. You know our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that as the people of God, if the communion with God is not as sweet as it once was, that we would plead for you to have mercy upon us and bring us to repentance and return and change that condition. If in this life we have found ourselves joyless, how we pray that we would plead with you, even as Moses, that we would know the pleasure of God, delighting in him and finding our satisfaction in him, that therefore leads to joy in the midst of even conflict. And Father, we pray that as many of us would sense very much our own weakness, our lack of accomplishment, Father, we pray, like Moses, we would plead to you to bless and confirm the work of our hands. And so, Father, we pray that as we have considered this prayer of Moses throughout this day, that you will come by the work of your Spirit and make it effective in our lives. Father, may it so work within us that we would be found a people who are not just hearers of the word, but by your grace, walk and live and do the word. So we commit your word unto you. Will you confirm the labors of our hand? May you so bless that you receive glory and honor through it all. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.